Okay, so the last week and a half or so, we dealt with the theoretical issues in the Omer. Conceptually analyzing, is it a matir? Is the matir here from Hemizrach? Relationship to Shtei Alechem. But we need to now move to the next sugya, which is the one which will have the most direct halachic implications, which is what is the status in Chutz Laaretz? What is the status of Zman Hazeh? What is the status of grain which is owned by non-Jews? And all that will be relevant when we try to figure out whether it's mutter or where the heter comes from and whether you're convinced by it, right? I'm not sort of saying, this is not a fait accompli, right? This is not, it's mutter, now let's just prove how. Because I don't know if Yosef's rabbi has gotten back to him, but right, this is not something where there's wide agreement. I mean, most people are lenient, but there are definitely people who are machmir. And if you ask Yosef Soloveitchik, I'm sure he'll tell you that his family is very, very strict. Okay. Now, the key words to the whole thing are, if you go back to the pasuk, so let's just remind ourselves of the pasukim. Let's do it one more time. I'll read through it right quickly. Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemor. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amar talim ki tavo el haaretz asher ani noten lachem uktzartem mekitzira v'aveitem et omer reishit ktzirchem ala kohen. So, in that pasuk, do you see any indications that might hint as to whether this applies in Israel, not in Israel? Very good. So, there's definitely a hint in this pasuk, ki tavo el haaretz, that in some way this does depend on Israel. So, does that mean that it only applies in Israel or not? We'll see as a machloket in the Gemara already, Mishnah really. But it's clear that Eretz Yisrael is part of the picture. Then there's this phrase, Kitzir Chem. Now, Kitzir Chem is a phrase which becomes important because sometimes we're very medayek that when we say you're something, who do we mean? So sometimes we mean Jews. Right, so it's possible that phrase, the first of your grain, will limit it to Jews, and we'll see that position as well. Correct. And then now back to that was the carbon. V'nel v'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo tochlo aretzem ayom hazeh. Ara v'yachem et korban aleichem chukar olam dor dechem b'chol moshvotechem. And that last phrase becomes important also, b'chol moshvotechem, because sometimes moshvotechem means your dwelling places, which means those in Israel. But then there's this phrase which seems to be more expansive, which is b'chol moshvotechem. And sometimes in Chazal thought, moshvotechem might mean Israel, kol moshvotechem might include, might mean more expansive. And these are some of the textual issues that drive the machloko that we will see already in the Gemara. So, So not necessarily additional to Israel, but we'll see that it may conquest is going to be important in some shitot. Okay, so let us look at the as I said, the first time that this is a machlokes is the Mishnah in Kiddushin. So the Mishnah in Kiddushin tells us as follows. What does the Mishnah say? You have the Gemara Kiddushin. Good. So read me the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Lamed Vav, which is on Lamed Vav and Beis in the Gemara, says that. Good. So what does that mean? Kol mitzvah shitluya ba'aretz. Good. Any land-dependent mitzvah is dependent on the land of Israel. Now those are those are basically agricultural. Now what is a mitzvah that is unequivocally a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz? An agricultural mitzvah and therefore is only dependent on Israel? Truma. Shvi'it. Right? Shmita only applies in Israel. Right, so again, for those of you who are staying, if you're going to stay Shana Gimel, theoretically, you will experience Shemitah. If Yosef stays Shana Dalet, then he will experience Shemitah in Israel. And if you go back and visit us in a year and a half from now, you know, during winter break in university, then you'll experience Shemitah here as well. Right?
tourists.
I'm really hoping that by January of 2022,
if they don't,
we have vaccine or something like that. You know, I don't know when this is all going to end on a worldwide scale. If it's not over by January 2022, I give up. I just give up, okay? Fine. So the Mishnah tells you that all agricultural mitzvot apply only in Israel. Continue. V'she'en et luya baretz. Right, so non-agricultural. Now, give me an example of a non-agricultural mitzvah. Thank you. Mezuzah, tzitzis, tefillin, tefila, Talmud Torah, shofar, sukkah, matzah, kiddushin, gittin. Yeah, take your pick. Right, meaning most laws apply. That's not totally clear. Right, but it might be a din melchama, right? Because it's only chayev once you have kibush haaretz and you have a melech. Right? Because melchama of war. You need the situation to be able to create a war. Anyways, good. So then what is the... if you want, I can lend you my sefer, which is essentially Mechiyas HaMalek Kihelchasa. It's the weirdest book. Why someone wrote it, I don't quite understand. I did not even buy it. I got it for free at some point, and it sits on my shelf, and it sort of freaks me out a little bit. Anyway. Now, there are two, however, agricultural mitzvot that are therefore obviously land-dependent that the Mishnah outlines apply even in Chutz La'aretz. What are they? Very good. Chutz min ha'arla v'kilayim. Rilazar omer, but then Rilazar adds afechadash. So already in the Mishnah we have a machloket. Everyone agrees that chadash is a mitzvah tluya baretz in the sense that it's agricultural oriented, and therefore by the normal rules, as an agricultural mitzvah, it should be limited to Israel. And yet, it is a machloket between the Tanakhama and Rilazar. Why? So the Gemara then pushes this on Lamed Zayim and Aleph. Now, obviously, right off the bat, that means that Chadash and Chutz La'aretz. So, if we just had the Mishnah so far, the Gemara is going to try to clarify Rilazar's position. What would you say? Are you allowed to eat grain in Chutz La'aretz? That is Chadash. What would you say, Zimcha? Can you eat new grain in England? According to who, yes. And according to who, no. According to Tanakhama, yes. According to Rilazar, no. Now, who would you think we'd be Paskin like? Who do you think? If you just did the Mishnah, I'm not asking you to Paskin. I'm asking you if you just froze right now. Who would you think we'd Paskin like? No. If you just froze the Mishnah, who would you say we'd Paskin like? Tanakhama. Right? Because that's presumably the position of the Chachamim, or the anonymous voice. You might. But we'll see that it's not nearly that simple. No, he is. Rilazar adds the first, right? The Tanakhama thinks it's only Arla and Kilayim, and Rilazar says that it is Chadash as well, Afa Chadash. But now the Gemara says, well, what exactly is he saying? Oh, good. So now, but the Gemara then clarifies. Okay, what's the machlokas? But obviously, if you said that Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, so you guys have an easy out, which is, it just doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. What are you asking me? You just don't have imported grain. That's Chadash. Good. So what does the Gemara say? Gemara in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Iba Yilehu. Right. Iba Yilehu. Right. Rabbi Elazar. Lukula. Olochumra. Right. Rabbi Elazar. Lukula Paleg. Olochumra Paleg. Good. Right. So the Gemara asks, let's try that. Right. We're going to try to take this slowly, because like I said, this is where it's going to be. The halacha lemaisa emerges from this, from these sugya. Good. So the Gemara asks, let's clarify Elazar's position. Yeah? Take it away, Daniel. Right. So now the Gemara says, what would each side look like? Right, what would it mean? What would it look like if it was lachomra palag? That if he was strict. In. Low. So possibility one is that the Tanakhama says only Chada, only Kilayim and Arla, which are agricultural, apply outside of Israel. Chadash does not. And Relazer says it applies as well. And then the Gemara says, and what would be the subject of that? What would be the driving force of that machlokas? My time, huh? My time, huh? Good. So the Gemara says the first possibility is that their machlokas hangs on one word, which is what word? B'chol moshavoteichem. Right. The phrase in the pasuk b'chol moshavoteichem. And what are the two options that the Gemara offers? So the Tanakhama says Moshav means what? How does he interpret it? Yeah, because what does that mean? Meaning, so what does Moshav mean? Moshav doesn't mean where you live. What does it mean? B'chol Moshavadeichem, wherever you are settled. Settled. And so what does he think? How does he think you read the Pasuk? No. Tanakhama says, when the Pasuk says B'chol Moshavadeichem, it doesn't mean, remember we said, not wherever you live, which would include Chutz Laretz, it's correct. It's where once you have conquered, meaning some mitzvot, and this is right, some mitzvot at Tluy Baretz become obligatory as soon as the Jews entered Israel. Some don't become obligatory until what's called La'achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva. After the 7 years of conquest and the 7 years of settling, the 14 years after they get into Israel, you need settling for it to be chayav. So the Tanakhama says that Chadash is only in Eretz Israel, and what does B'chol Moshavoteichem come to teach you? That you didn't become chayav in Chadash as soon as you moved into Israel, as soon as the Jews entered. It was only after they were dwelling. And his drasha is from the fact that it's Moshav, right, when you're dwelling, Yeshiva Baretz. So, therefore, he has no pasuk to tell you're chayv in Chutz Laretz. The pasuk is coming to define what type of Yeshiva Baretz, right, what type of dwelling in Israel is sufficient to warrant a chiyuv. That's the position of the Tanakhama. And the Rilazar says, no, what does B'chol Moshavoteichem mean? Correct. Is that addition of wherever you live means not just if you're in Israel. This isn't. Essentially, what he's saying is that the way you do the pasuk is Titav Alaretz. Once you come to Israel, you're chayiv b'chol moshavoteichem wherever you happen to live. Meaning, it's that phrase b'chol moshavoteichem is expansive.
That's kind of weird to say, though, because if it's wherever you live, then why should that only start once a minute?
So, meaning that it's not about mitzvah tali b'aretz; it's about a time period, right? You need to have come into Israel, and then the chayiv devolves. That's the Gemara's first possibility. I'm brushing you aside, not really brushing you aside. Because we'll see that, remember, part of this might depend on, remember, there's always two things you have to think about in the Omer. One is the Heter HaOmer, and the other is Mitzvah HaOmer. And remember, we saw there's a Machlokas. When did they start bringing the Omer? Right? Did they bring it in the Midbar? Did they not bring it in the Midbar? Right, it could be the Mitzvah aspect of bringing the Korban HaOmer only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but maybe the Isser is more expansive. And this is going to be important because the sugya on Pei Gimel and Pei Dalet are going to say that there's a machloket whether you're allowed to use the grain from Chutz Laretz for Chadash. Right? Now, if you think that the Isser Chadash and the Mitzvah of Chadash, so the Mitzvah of the Omer and the Isser of the Omer are intrinsically linked, then if you're allowed to bring the grain from Chutz Laretz for the Karban, then Chadash applies in Chutz Laretz. And if you're not, then it doesn't. But if you divorce between the heter and iser component of Chadash and the mitzvah component of the Karban HaOmer, so then you could plausibly come up with a position that it's the grain for the Omer has to be brought from Israel, but the iser Chadash applies in Chutz Laretz. And in case you think it's theoretical, that's actually the position of the Rambam. But we'll get there. Right? So it's always possible to divide in these psukim between the aspects in the Gemara that in the aspects of the halacha that are referring to the mitzvah of the Karbana Omer and the Isser of Chadash. But at this stage in the Gemara says that when it comes to the Isser Chadash, so the Tanakhama says it does not apply in Chutz Laretz, and B'chol Moshe Deichem is not including Chutz Laretz, it's rather limiting when in Eretz Yisrael become Chayev. You're not Chayev always in Eretz Yisrael, you're only Chayev when there's Yeshiva, Yeshiva Aretz. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, this comes to tell you that the obligation extends beyond the borders of Israel. So that's possibility one. Good. Next possibility in the Gemara. The Kol Shekein Chadash. Kol Makom Shatem Yoshvim Mashma. Then the Gemara turns this completely on its head and says maybe he knows the other way around. That the Chachamim think that Kilayim and Orla apply in Chutz Laretz, even though they seem to be agricultural and therefore land dependent. And Chadash is obvious to the Tanakhama that it applies everywhere. Why? Because of B'chol Moshe Deichem, that it's not about the land at all, it's about wherever you live. And Rabbi Elazar comes to say, no, Afa Chadash is what? Is dependent on the original rule, which is that only agricultural laws. The Af in the Mishnah. Afa Chadash is, even Chadash is land dependent and therefore not applicable in Israel. And the words Ren Moshav is La Chayirush Vishu. I mean, Gemara is basically saying these are the two potential positions, right? But they are flipping them, right? Meaning, in the end of the day, the Mishnah has two possibilities. The Gemara has two possibilities. Who is the person who thinks that Chadash is land dependent? Who's the one who says it's not? The first position is that the Tanakhama says Orla and Kilayim apply everywhere, but Chadash is only in Israel. And Rabbi Eliezer says it only applies in Israel. It even applies in Chutz Laretz. Second position is that the Chachamim are the ones. Tanakhama is the one who forbids in Chutz Laretz. And Rabbi Elazar says, no. Chadash is part of the general rule. It's not an exception. And therefore, it's Patur in Chutz Laretz. So what does the Gemara say? So Tashma, the Gemara proves it. The Omer Abaye, Mantana Tabayel Elazar, Tari Shmoili. He said, you want to know this key? The key is that there are names here. And who are the names? Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is the Tanakhama here represents the position of Rabbi Shmuel. And what does Rabbi Shmuel hold? Good. That the Tanakhama is Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says that Moshav teaches you. That you're only chayev after you conquer the land, but once you conquer the land, where are you chayev? Only in Israel, right? And the Tanakhama and Amar Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, yes. And Rabbi Shmuel says, Hare Shabbat Shenemar Bo Moshavot V'Noheged Ben Meretz V'Chutz Laretz. So Amar Lei Shabbat Kal V'Chomer Atya Ma Matzot Mitzvot Kalo Noheged Ben Meretz V'Chutz Laretz Shabbat Chamir L'Kol Shekein. So, in the Brisa, the Gemara says, oh, Shabbos is definitely, etc. Shabbos is definitely, it's a Kavah Chomer, it's more Chomer than other mitzvahs.
Because there are more lenient things that apply outside the land.
Correct.
Shabbos has to.
But, correct.
What's considered more lenient versus more strict? Like, where does Chadash fall?
So, Chadash is Nisr Lav, and Shabbos is Remisa. So, Shabbos is clearly more Chomer. It's Skila, it carries the strictest death penalty.
Are there anything that are even more lenient than Chadash that apply
So that, right, so that, right, we could spend a lot of time. We could spend a lot of time with these Kal V'Chomers, but for our purposes, let's just posit it, right? And so what does the Gemara say? So mida amar Abaye mantana de palaga lady Rilazar Rabbi Shmuel, since Abaye says that who is the one who argued in Rilazar, it's Rabbi Shmuel, what does that tell you? Shmamina Rilazar Lachumra Palak Shmamina. That the interpretation of the Mishnah is the one we came up with originally, it's the simplest, which is that it's the Tanakama, which now the Gemara has identified as Rabbi Shmuel, who thinks that Chadash only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And really, Azir says it applies even in Chutzlart. So now, how should we paskin? So this is where it gets complicated, because there's a rule that, so in general, there's a rule in the Gemara called Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Right, the Halacha follows Stam Mishnah, a Mishnah where a halachic position is articulated without any dissenting views. Okay? So if there's halacha in the Mishnah that is presented without machloket, usually we follow it. That gets complicated when you have two Mishnayot that discuss the same halacha, and one of them presents the halacha as not subject to machloket, and another Mishnah presents it to machloket. Right, as a machloket. So then how do you paskin? Because you have one which is a stam mishnah and one which is a machloket. So the Gemara says it depends. Wait, so the Gemara says it depends. So in general, the rule is as follows. And you tell me the logic for this, because it actually makes a lot of sense. Stam v'achar kach machloket ein halacha kistam. If the earlier mishnah presents the law unambiguously, but a later mishnah presents a machloket, so then we don't necessarily paskin like the stam. Why? What's the logic? Right, meaning, because what you're essentially saying is, here's the general halacha, and then you clarify, don't think that this is what everyone says, there's actually a dispute about it. And therefore, you undermine, right, if the original Mishnah is the blanket rule, and then you undermine it by presenting it as a machloket, so then we don't necessarily paskin like the stam. But what about the other way? Machloket v'achar kach stam. Wait, did I get that right? One second. Did I get that right? One second. Did I get that right? No, I think I got that backwards. I think I got it backwards. I think I got it backwards. I think I got that backwards. I forget how it works. I have to look it back. I think I got it backwards. And then the other relevant factor you just have to keep in mind is that often we give precedence if we have halacha that's mentioned in two places. One is the logical place to mention, and one is derech agav. Okay? Meaning, in one place, it's not the main topic. It comes up as a side point. Correct. Like Hilchos Chadash coming up in Kiddushin, or if you discuss it in its primary place, meaning somewhere in Zrayim, we often, not always, but often give preeminence to the position that's in its normal place. So what drives many of the Mepharshim is that while in the Mishnah in Kiddushin, it's presented as a machloket, in the Masechet as right, I think it's actually the other way, right? Stam, stam. We'll see. I'm just going to hold back on it, because I know now I'm confusing the rules in my head. The problem is that the Mishnah in Arla, which is the logical place to have this, because Arla was one of the exceptions, how does the Mishnah in Arla outline the rule? Right, so the Gemara, the Mishnah in Gimel Tet is talking about Safek, right? But what does the Gemara, what the Mishnah say at the end? Once it's talking about Arla in Chutzlars, which does apply in some way, shape, or form, what does it say at the end? HaChadash Asher Menatar B'chol Makom V'Arla Halacha V'Kilayim Midivrei Sofrim. That Chadash is Asher biblically everywhere. Arla is Halacha Moshe Misina, and Kilayim is Divrei Sofrim. which is probably Darabanan, but maybe some other sort of Halakha Moshe Sinai type thing. The Rambam, the 17th Perek of Kelim, in the Perek Mishnah, it says that Divrei Sofrim sometimes means Darabanan, but sometimes it doesn't. So, but probably Darabanan here. So what's the problem? In this Mishnah, this is a Stam Mishnah, right? It's a Stam Mishnah, and the position articulated by the Mishnah is, does Chadash apply outside of Eretz Yisrael? Yes. And not only that, does it say it's Daraisa or Darabanan? It's Minat Torah. Very good. So now, if you want to try to figure out how we paskin, so what you got to do is first, right, one way that the poskim are going to do it is trying to apply these rules of Stams and Achim Ahogas. One is, where's the Mishnah? One is, as we're going to see, looking through the relevant Yerushalmis. There is one relevant Bavli, though, that we've already seen, and let's see if you can get it. What relevant Bavli weighs in on this machlokes? So if you remember the end of the machlokes on Samaches and Beis on whether you have to be makbid in Chutz Laretz on Sveika de Yoma? Do you not remember? Okay, let's look quickly at that Gemara. Because that was a Gemara we already seen, so I didn't have to feel like I had to re-give it to you, but now let's look at it. So go back to the Gemara. So, no, that, I'm joking. I wasn't sure that you would actually catch that reference, but it's important. So if you look, remember the end of the Gemara in Samach Chesem and Beis? Meaning what we did last week? Do you have your Menachot? Okay, I'll read it to you, it's fine. So the end of that Gemara, it said that Rapapa Rav Huna Brei Rav Shua Achli Chadash Urte the Shitzar Nage Shibsar. Rav Papa and Rav Huna ate Chadash on the evening of the 16th going into the 17th. Why? Kasavri Chadash B'chutz La'aretz Dirabanan. Because they thought that the Yisar Chadash is Dirabanan. U'sveika L'chashinan. And therefore, you don't have to worry about Sveika Diyoma because Safik Dirabanan L'kula. V'rabbanan debei Rav Ashi achli b'tzafra d'shivsar. Rabbanan and Rav Ashi wait until the 17th in the morning. Why? Kasavri chadosh b'chutz l'aretz d'oraita. Because they said it is biblical. V'rab Yocham and Zakam midrabbanan kamar. But they thought that. So why they wait? Do it the 17th in the morning, not 17th at night? Because Savik Daraisa Lachomra, and therefore you have to wait to the 17th. But they think, remember we saw it's a machlokin in the Gemara, is waiting till evening, Meikar Adin, or the Gzeira of Yom Hanef that we discussed at the end of last year. So what are they paskin? The reason to wait to the end of the day is only Gzeira, Dirabana. Rav Yocham and Zakai, Midirabana Gamar, Vechitakan, Yom Hanef, Vesveika, Lotakin. But you don't add the Takana on to the 17th. So, and Amar Ravina, Amar Liyem, Avuch Leviachal Chadash El Burta De Shivsar Nagei Timnesar. And then it presents the most Machmer Shita, which is that Ravina says that my mother told me that my father, right, Ravina's father, wouldn't eat it until the 17th at night, going into the 18th, because he held that the reason to wait all day is itself not the takana, but the oraita, right? Remember that ad bechal. And he thought that chadash and chutz la'aretz is the oraita, right? Is the oraita? Or did the shivsar nagei tamnesar? The savar like Rabbi Yehuda v'chayes l'sveika. He held double. He held that the iser of chadash in chutz la'aretz is the oraita. And he thought that the reason you wait to the end of the day is not because it's a kind that we talked about of Yochanan ben Zakkai, but because of Yehuda, that it is what? Ad. Va'ad ve'ad bechlal. And therefore, you have to wait until going into 17th, going into the 18th, meaning to the end of the 17th. So you have three positions, right? Now, what does it sound like in this Gemara? Is the... Right, you have one day, right, you have three positions here. According to how many positions in this Gemara is Chadash and Chutz La'aretz D'oraita? Two out of three. So, If you had to guess, based on this Gemara, do we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? As the position is presented in the Stam Mishnah in our law, that not only is Chadash Asr and Chutz La'aretz, but it's Asr Midoraita, if you have the Gemara in Simon Chedem and Beis, what would you guess? Yes, Rove. Right? Because two out of three positions hold that not only is it Asr and Chutz La'aretz, but you even apply Sveika de Yoma.
How do you say it's Rove?
What? So that was only my Havamina, but remember I said it's not a Chacham in the end. Right? Abaye clarifies that it's one-on-one. It's Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Elazar, which means you no longer have... It's not an implied Chacham versus Rabbi Elazar. Right? By time you... So let's just assemble the evidence. By time you get to the end of the Sugya in Kiddushin, the Gemara's Maskana is that... Is it a Rove against Rabbi Eliezer? No, it's Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Elazar. So it's one against one. So based on that Mishnah alone, who would you Paskin like? We don't know. One-on-one. But then you have a Stam Mishnah in Arla, which is Bimkoma, which might have more power, which says what? It's D'oraisa, which is like Rabbi Elazar, and doesn't even quote a machloket about it. And then you have a Gemara in Kiddushin that has three positions in terms of Sveika. The Gemara assumes that whether or not you hold that you need to be worried about Safik depends on whether you hold Chodesh and Chodesh Lahar, Bezmana Zez, D'oraisa, D'rabbanan. And you have three positions. Two out of three of them hold that it's D'oraisa, and therefore do you have to worry about Sveika D'yoma? You know, just like today's Yantif? Yes. They're only machlokas. You have a sub-machlokas within the D'oraisa positions. Is one holds you wait until the 17th of the morning because he thinks that the takana of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is only D'rabbanan. And therefore, really what's matirit? Heir Pnei Mizrach, sunrise. And because of Sveika D'yoma, you're not sure if the 16th is really the 16th, so you wait until the 17th in the morning. The second position is that, no, we really paskin would be Yehuda. The Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is D'oraisa, and therefore you have to wait till the 17th. And you have to wait all day because it's because of Adi Ad Bechlal. And the first day is, who says, no, you don't have to do that. Very good. So therefore you don't have to be Machmir because Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is Savik. So if you have three positions... Not in this Gemara. So if you just outline the evidences we have in this Gemara, what would you say? On balance, who do you think we would paskin like? Again, by the end, the Gemara in Kiddushin is not a Rove against a Yachid. It's a Yachid against a Yachid. Plus a Stam Mishnah that says Daraisa, plus two out of three positions in the Gemara Menachot that says it's Daraisa. So what would you guess? Who do we paskin like? What? Who would you guess? Right, at this stage in the Gemara, you would guess that we would paskin that... It's D'oraisa, right? That it's not mitzvah gluy baretz, and therefore it applies more machmer than arla, more machmer than kilayim, which are only halachah moshe mitzina or divrei sofrim. Chadash, not only does it apply in chutz la'aretz, but it applies D'oraisa. What? Right, that's the simplest shot based on these, on the evidence that we've assembled so far.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed? So, based on that, what would you tell me? Are you allowed to eat Chadash or even Safik Chadash in Chutz La'aretz, or would you have to check to make sure that your grain is old?
You have to check.
Right? Because so far what we're seeing is that the simplest shot at this stage in the Gemara is that not only is Asr in Chutz La'aretz, it's Asr Midoraisa, and therefore the rule is Safik D'oraisa L'chorma. So not only is it Asr in Chutz La'aretz, but it's Asr even in a case of Safik. So not only... Would you not be allowed to eat something if someone said this vadai grew after you took root after Pesach? Even if you weren't sure, it would be osir, just like Safik pig. Right? It would be equivalent to pig. Would all the chumrat you'd have by pig, you'd have by chadash.
When it says what does that mean?
Halacha moshe mitzina.
Which you said can be both.
Which is almost d'oraisa, but has certain kulot, but chadash does not. Right, Chadash would be, according to this, now why? What would you say, now that would mean that not only is Minatorah, it's not Halacha Moshe Mitzina, it's Minatorah, because the simple pshat of the Mishnah is that it buys the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer, that B'chol Moshe Odechet means wherever you happen to live. Meaning that it's not Halacha Moshe Mitzina, this is actually how they understand the Pasuk. That it's not just at the level of D'oraisa, it's actually D'oraisa, this is how they understand the Pasuk. Right, Arla is just Halacha Moshe Mitzina, but Chadash is... Pshuto Shel Mikra, according to Rabbi Eliezer, against Rabbi Yishmael. So, based on all of this, you would say, so how is it possible that we have any possible kulas in Kol Paretz? Because the simplest pshat...
I mean, you still have a ton of it says.
Good, so you could say, maybe it's wrong, maybe we paskin like Rabbi Yishmael and not like Rabbi Eliezer, right? It could be that we paskin like the first day in the Gemara, correct. Could be. But as we'll see, these are going to be the relevant evidence. Now, the next piece of evidence that is assembled, right, what we're doing is we have to assemble the evidence. But so far, the evidence is pretty damning, right? Is hard to... It points in the direction that it should be Osir, even Chotzarts. Now, the next two sources that are brought, and with this we'll wrap up most of the evidence in Chazal, is... There are two passages in Yerushalmi. Now, after we see the Yerushalmi, what I do want you to do is remember, one way of looking for another position would be, if you assume that the Heter Omer is tied to the Karban Omer, so then you might have a counterclaim, because we're going to remember there's a Machloket, as I said, Pegimon, add that to your Makarashi, by the way, is that Gemara, is the Mishnah on Pegimon based to the two dots and Pedal and Aleph. No, I'm saying, like, to yourselves. You have a Gemara Menachot, so I don't need to add it for you. It's in Menachot. Pegimon Beis to Pedal and Aleph. Okay. But the next two pieces of evidence we'll assemble, and then we'll... What I want to do is look at the two Yerushalmis. I want to look at that Gemara quickly, that we're going to come back to it, to continue to assemble the evidence. So let's look at the Yerushalmis that are part of this story. So there are two passages in Yerushalmi that are relevant. One is in Orla, Gimel Zayin, and what is in Chala Beis Aleph. So Daniel, you want to? I know you have the hard copy of Yerushalmi. So Yerushalmi is hard to read. So let's read through it carefully. Do you want me to read this? I don't necessarily expect you to know Yerushalmi Aramaic so well. Okay, good. So let's do the one in Orla. Now remember, Yerushalmi is written about 100 years before the Bavli, and it uses an Eretz Yisrael dialect of Aramaic, which is a bit more complicated than the Bavel Aramaic. It's also another problem with Yerushalmi is that it's simply not edited. Right? People didn't learn it as well, so there's a lot of just mistakes.
Can we just confirm the reason we really follow Bavli?
Because? So amongst the, it's not clear, right? Amongst, I gave a shir on this a while ago. Let's take it a minute, right? So Yerushalmi is written first, right? Yerushalmi is studied less because we don't paskin like it. The preeminence of the Bavli of the Yerushalmi actually wasn't clear for a while. It took a few hundred years before that was solidified. It only really happened around Rav Sajja Gaon, where Eretz Yisrael Minhagim lost out to Bava Minhagim. But in general, the preeminence of the Yerushalmi and of the Minhag Eretz Yisrael was much more prominent until the time of Rav Sajja Gaon, during the great fights over the calendar, where, you know, there were still Kehilot in Eretz Yisrael who were keeping one day Rosh Hashanah, and you know, they fought, they thought they had dominance over the calendar, and but eventually Bavel sort of won out. Now, because we don't paskin like the Yerushalmi or over the Bavli, it was studied less, right? Or you can always try to figure out which is the chicken and the egg, but that's basically what happened, which meant that the Bavli, which was studied more, has been subject to a lot more editing, because people learned it. The Yerushalmi was learned less, and therefore has been edited less. So so one of the complexities of Yerushalmi, in addition to the harder Aramaic, is that it hasn't been edited, so there are mistakes, right? There are just more textual mistakes that have never been fixed. Now, why we possibly involve the Yerushalmi is not 100% clear. Part of it might be that it's more extensive. In some of the poskim, the reason is because Halacha Kibat Tri, simply because it's later, which means that the Mesorot that the Yerushalmi was privy to, the Bavli was also privy to, and therefore made its rulings even having the Yerushalmi in mind, right? Or having the positions that are reflected in the Yerushalmi in mind. And in general, we have this position of Halacha Kibat Tri, which I gave a Sharon also this year, Tishon Abed. Were you there? I don't think you were actually there that year, if I remember correctly. I don't think you were there that day.
One of
the Pesach year. I don't think you were there that day. I don't remember why, but I don't think you were there that day. Were you? Allah Kibat Tri, about possibly like the later generations?
Yeah.
Oh, you were there. Okay. So you should remember this, right? That one of the reasons might be Allah think about try. Anyway, so let's try to look at the... Again, I want to go slowly through the sugya because I want to build the evidence carefully. So, good. So let's look at the Yerushalmi in Arla. What does Yerushalmi in Arla say, Daniel? HaKadosh Aser, yeah? So the Yerushalmi identifies. If the Mishnah in Arla tells us that Chadash is Aser biblically everywhere, even in Chazar, so which position must it be identifying? Masnisa de? Right, good. So in the Yerushalmi, the olives usually drop. Eliezer and the Yerushalmi is Liezer. And it's true of most things. So like in the Bavli, there's someone named Rabbi Abba. In the Yerushalmi, his name is Rabbi Ba. Now, this became a problem in the Neusner translation of the Yerushalmi, because the Neusner, and this is something Lieberman pointed out, is that apparently Neusner didn't quite process this, and therefore, whenever it says Rabbi Ba, he says Rabbi Kaim. It's not Rabbi Kaim. It's not Rabbi Ba. It's his name is Rabbi Ba. That's his name.
Rabbi
Ba Kaim
or
Rabbi Ba Ba. Rabbi Ba Ba, yes. Rabbi Ba Ba. But... okay, so the Yerushalmi says, identifies this position as Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Eliezer. What? No, in a lot of things. Yeah. The Tanin and Taman, because we learned in the Mishnah there that Kol Mitzvah, yeah?
Kol Mitzvah Shehena
Aretz, good. So now the Gemara clarifies what is the nature of their machlokes. It's a bit more clear than the Bavli. Ma time at the Rebbe Eliezer. What is? Why does Rebbe Eliezer hold it that you're chayv mid oraita even chotaret? Very good. Right now, ma kaim mekaimin rabbanan. Time of the Rebbe Eliezer. Now here you get a little bit of... Very good. So here it is presented, right? Now, so here you're right, is that one benefit you already started getting from the Yerushalmi is this little slip of the tongue. Is that in the Bavli, by the end you might think it's one-on-one. But the Yerushalmi says, no, that Rabbi Shmuel, what the Bavli calls Rabbi Shmuel's position, is in fact representative of a greater group of rabbis.
But the Bavli also started off by saying this. It just didn't later specify that it's one person.
Correct. But it
just didn't specify.
Correct. And therefore, but in light of the Yerushalmi, you could go back and just say, okay, it happens to be that Rishmal was the one fighting Rabbi Lazar. But in fact, this position eventually became representative, which might help you if you wanted to go in that direction. Right? But it's clear that in the Yerushalmi, at this point, it doesn't pick it out as Rabbi Shmuel. It says that it's Rabbi Eliezer against the Chachamim, against the Rabbanan. So how do they reject this drasha? So they add a chiddush, and they say no. And this is different from the Bavli. In the Bavli, what did they do with B'chol Moshe V'deichem? La'acha Yerusha V'yeshiva. Because were they really darshing the word kol? No. So in the Bavli, really the drasha comes from which words? Simply, Moshe Dechem, which Rabbi Shmuel takes as meaning wherever you live, and the Chachamim take as Yerusha V'Yeshiva. But in the Yerushalmi, it's clear that what is the key drasha here? It's not from the word Moshe Dechem. What is it? Kol Moshe Dechem. Now, according to Yerushalmi, what does everyone think Kol Moshe Dechem means at this stage? Chutz Laaretz. Everyone thinks it means Chutz Laaretz. Everyone. What's the machlokes? Rabbi Eliezer thinks that you're chayiv in Chadash in Chutz Laaretz. So what do the Chachamim say? See if you can get it. You are chayiv in Chutz Laaretz, but only what? No. Read the words. What do they do with the words? They also agree that it's right. This is different from the Bavli. The Bavli thinks that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the word Moshe Rodeichem, does it mean Chutz Laaretz? No, it means Eretz Yisrael Lacher Yerusha V'Yeshiva. At this stage in the Gemara, do the Rabbanan think B'chol Moshe Rodeichem means Chutz Laaretz?
They
yes.
They mean only if it's from Jewish.
Only if it's from Israel, if it's exported. If it's exported.
Why would...
Oh, good. But before you ask a very good question, because you're 100% right, let's just clarify. That the difference in terms of the drasha is that what? In the Bavli, the machlokas is whether the word moshvotechem means where you live, which means chutz laaretz, or conquest, which means Israel. In the Yerushalmi, the word b'chol moshvotechem so far means Israel. It means chutz laaretz according to everyone. What's the machlokas?
Where the grain is from.
Whether that means that that even grain that's grown in chutz laaretz is, or
so,
or only exported. Now, you're going to tell me, wait a second. Good, ask me your question. Daniel, ask me the very good question.
In the Bavli, they're arguing that it's both. It's where you live and where the... Meaning where
in the Bavli, there is no distinction. Correct. In the Bavli, it is a given.
Yes.
Right? It is a given that the only issue at hand is you don't need a pasuk to tell me that exported, according to the Bavli, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that exported grain is chayev in chadash. Just like shmita produce that is exported to chutz laaretz, you have to be makbid. It shouldn't be exported, but if it is, you have to be makbid on kedusha. Just like Jaffa oranges that you find in Manchester or in Florida or New York, if you find that they didn't give trumas and maestros, what do you have to do? Be mafrish trumas and maestros, otherwise it's not kosher.
But in the Yerushalmi, it's saying that it's then where the actual grain is.
But the Yerushalmi is saying that according to Chachamim, you need a pasuk to tell me that exported grain is chayev in chadash. Now what's the question you have to ask in the Yerushalmi? Isn't that obvious?
Yeah.
And so what's the answer? Good. So the Yerushalmi is telling you a big chiddush. Because you might have thought that it's obvious, right? Meaning, you have two categories of mitzvot. You have mitzvot atluyot ba'aretz, which are applicable only in Israel. Then you have mitzvot shesheinu atluyot ba'aretz, which are chayev in chutz laaretz and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael and chutz laaretz. Chadash, the machlokes is it tluyot ba'aretz?
The whole art of tluyot ba'aretz means that it's coming, it's dependent on...
Very good. So now... So what's weird is that here the Chum suddenly introduced a new category, which is that without a pasuk, I would have thought that Chadash applies not only with Israeli produce, but only Israeli produce in Israel. So explain that Hava meaning to me. Explain that Shita to me. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make sense because you'd say, I don't understand. If it's Tluya Baretz, that means it inheres in the agriculture. So what could possibly be the pshat? So
it depends on where it's grown and then where it's...
But why? Right, that's weird. It's not true of anything else. So why would it be true here? What would you have to say?
I have a special din within there.
So what would you have to say? You'd have to say that they are conceptualizing Kala as a chovas gavra. Sorry, chadash is a chovas gavra. It's not a chiyuv that inheres in the grain, but a chiyuv on...
They're saying it's both. It's both karka and gavra.
Correct, but meaning, what was the havamina? Wait, why do I need a pasuk to tell me...
The havamina that is just karka.
No! Think about what the Chachamim are saying. If I didn't have a... No, in the Yerushalmi. The Chachamim are saying in the Yerushalmi is that if I didn't have a pasuk, I would think exported grain is... patur. Why? It comes from Israel. So what would you have to say? What was their havamina? Did chadash is a chovas gavra that you...
Right. No, I'm saying... Yeah. I'm saying in the Bavli it's
a chovas. Oh. In the Yerushalmi, and in the Bavli, fine. But in the Yerushalmi, they're being mechadesh, that they had a havamina, that it was a chovas gavra, and the pasuk comes to tell you that it's chovas karka, and therefore even exported grain is... It's chayev, but since the pasuk has to come to teach you that even exported grain is chayev, it's not free to teach you that.
Well,
it's not free to teach you what?
That it's everywhere. Meaning, even if it's grown.
Correct. It's not free to teach you that grain grown in chutz laaretz is.
But like we said, we can just darshan out from kol and mashmateha.
No, so in the Yerushalmi, it's clear that the drasha is primarily in the word kol. That's, therefore, you can't darshan both. So the Yerushalmi doesn't buy it at this stage. right? But that seems to be the Hava Mina Maskana, right? The Yerushalmi is saying you need a Pasuk for the Chacham because they thought it was just a Chovas Gavra, but it turns out it's a Chovas Karaka, and therefore exported grain is going to maintain its Kedusha. So continuing the Yerushalmi.
Rabbi Yona Abai Kome Rabbi Yossi Limolo Tininon Av Machala Imahed.
So Rabbi Yona says, why didn't you also mention Chala? Right? Because Chala, you would have thought is, Chala is, you would think agricultural, and yet is Chala Chayev in Chutz Laretz? It's not in this Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yonah's question. Why don't you mention Chala? Because what's the halacha? Is Chala chayv in Chutz Laretz? Are you chayv in Chala in Chutz Laretz rather? Yes, 100%. Have you guys ever baked bread, cookies?
Cookies.
Have your parents?
Yeah.
In have you ever baked it? Yes.
They're just like bread.
No, not at all. When you bake, if you bake the if you make kashir, so what do you have to do? You have to separate a piece, and now, because we can't give it to a kohen, you burn it. Right?
But that's only if you make like a lot.
Correct. You have to make enough. 100%. You have to make enough.
How much kohen do you have to put?
I think it's like
43 and a fifth eggs.
Yeah.
It's a lot of flour.
It's like...
Yeah, it's not your normal batch of cookies. It's not two challahs.
I think it's like 2.5 pounds of flour.
It's several pounds of flour. Yeah, it's a lot of baking. But you're aware of the halacha of challah, right? The separating out. Yeah? I doubt your baking you've done in the dorm ever has reached it. Good. But does that apply in Chutz Laretz?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. 100%. Challah applies in Chutz Laretz. So Rabbi Yonah says, wait a second. Challah, you would think, is related to, is a mitzvah tluy baretz, and yet it's chayv in Chutz Laretz, so why didn't you include it in the Mishnah? Right? Once you're listing exceptions, namely, cases that seem agricultural and yet are in fact chayiv in Chutz Laretz, why didn't you mention the other exception of Chala? So what did Yerushalmi say? So he gives a technical answer and says, because challah, the Mishnah only mentioned things that are chayev in Jewish and non-Jewish produce. Your dough. In your kneading.
Oh, in your kneading.
Good. So this,
wait,
now,
so, what?
So I want to draw two points out of this.
I don't get what it's saying.
So he's just saying that therefore it just didn't fit the category, that's all. Meaning, so, okay, let me tell you what it says. Pshat, and let's make two conceptual points, okay? Shot, it's saying, the reason it didn't get listed is because it was only mentioning things that apply to Jews and non-Jews. Challah doesn't apply to non-Jews, and therefore when I was coming up with the list, so then I just didn't bother mentioning challah here.
When it says it doesn't apply to non-Jews, it's if the non-Jew is baking.
Correct.
So if a Jewish...
His grain.
So in America, everyone's a non-Jew's grain then.
First let me make one point, and then I'll come to what's the more important point. Side point is that by comparing it to Chala, as the Mefarshim know, why is it the Chala is Chayv in Chutz Laretz? Because it seems like it's a Chovas Gavra. Because it's what? Why does it make sense that Chala is a Chovas Gavra and not Mitzvah Tluy Baretz? Because you only become Chayv when you make it into dough. So therefore, I took the grain and never made it into dough, or I never baked it. I decided to make it into pasta. I boiled it. Would I be chayev? No. It's not all grain. It's not like truma and maestros. It's specifically baking. And therefore, it resembles much more a chovas gavra than a chovas karka, because it's not. It doesn't adhere in the grain. It's if I process the grain in a certain way, so then I become chayiv to give challah. But that sounds much more like a chovas gavra, and that's why it makes sense to be a chiyuv even in Chutz Laretz. But now let's come back to our point, which is very important, which is, okay, but what's the simplest pshat in the Yerushalmi? According to the Yerushalmi, challah is only Jewish-owned grain. But non-Jews, if they're baking bread, there's no chiyuv challah. So then the non-Jew gives you the bread. Let's take a baker, for example, because this way it's paspalter, right? If he gives it to you after he baked it, is it mutter?
Yes.
Mutter. Right? Or if he gives it to his dough and you bake it yourself, right, which would be another way, because you become chayev and challah not when you bake it, you become chayev when you...
No, if you're saying it's because it's gavra, then...
No, because the...
It's only the act of baking.
So it's not baking. It's the act of kneading. It's the act of kneading. Arisoteichem, your kneaded dough.
So, if he gives you his flour that's not kneaded, then you are chayev.
Then you would become chayev, correct. But if he gave it to you after it was already kneaded, so then you might not be. Now, that... I don't want to get into challah. It's a beautiful sugya, but... That's actually machlokes in the Gemara, because Rabbi Kiva actually thinks that the Shas Chiyuv is krim at tanur, is the hardening of the bread. The Chachamim hold it's the kneading, right? The Chachamim hold it's earlier, it's the kneading process.
Either way, it's undoubtedly gavra.
Right, it's undoubtedly gavra, and it could be that once we've said that, you know, the question really is to what extent is chadash chovas gavra, chovas karka, that's why you invoke challah in this discussion. But, so that's the conceptual point, but now the halach lamaisa point. Yerushalmi paskins. This Yerushalmi, does the paskin that challah applies in Chutz Laretz? Yes, it's building on the Mishnah, right? It's building on the Mishnah in Arla, which is within the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, you have one possible kula, which is that now it identifies the cholek as the Rabbanan. So it could be that it would be a Rabbim against Yachid, so that might be a kula. But Toch Kedei, it introduces a very big chumrah, which is... that it makes it clear that while challah, you have a heter when it belongs to non-Jews, simple pshat in the Yerushalmi?
You don't have to.
Correct. That by chadash, even grain owned by non-Jews. So now, not only is the simple pshat of the Bavli and the Stam Mishnah and Arla, that chadash is chayv and chutz laretz, but the Yerushalmi now tells you that chadash, simple pshat, that chadash is distinct from challah, in that challah, is you're not chayiv if it's owned by non-Jews, it's non-Jewish grain, but chadash is prohibited even if it's non-Jewish grain. So
that
now...
That implies that it's karka.
What?
Doesn't that imply that it's only chumas karka? Because if it was chumas gavra, then it would...
Potentially. But now, but the simple pshat so far, based on everything we've seen, is that the simplest way to paskin would be that... Not only is Chadash Asr and Chutz Laretz, Mida Araisa.
And non-Jews.
Correct. And therefore, all the potential kulas that you might have wanted to pull out, that maybe Chadash isn't obligatory in Chutz Laretz, and maybe it doesn't apply if the grain was grown and owned by non-Jews and you bought it from them, both of those would fall by the wayside. And if you paskin simply based on what we've seen so far, the simplest pshat, based on the Stam Mishnah in Erla, and the simple pshat of the Gemara in Menachah that says it's a 2-1 machlokes as to whether you apply Sveika Diyoma to Chadash. Meaning, do you think it's D'Araisa or not? You would say it's Chayev Mi D'Araisa even in Chutz Laretz. And based on this Yerushalmi, the simple pshat in the Yerushalmi is that Chadash is distinct from challah, because challah, you're not chayev if the grain was produced and owned by non-Jews, but chadash, you are. And therefore, if you just stopped here, how many heterim do you have? Zero. Right? Zero. Any grain in Chutz Laretz owned by Jew or non-Jew, you would be chayev to research, figure out whether it's new grain or old grain. Right, the potential room for kula would be maybe it's not just Rabbi Shmuel, it's the Rabbanan, and therefore it's a rove, and maybe we paskin like that.
No, but it's like the rove paskin that by Orla it applies to Rabbanan.
Correct, and but maybe the rove doesn't paskin Chutz Laretz. Maybe it applies to Jews in non-Jews in Eretz Israel, maybe.
Right?
Maybe. But it's a hard read. So if I just stopped here, I would say that we've laid out the conceptual possibilities, but in terms of shaking it out for Pesach, you would think the Chadash is Aser Midaraisa in Chutz Laretz, whether it's owned by Jews or non-Jews. So when I tell you that this is...
Baruch Hashem, we're not stopping.
We are not stopping here, but when I told you this is going to take a few days, I meant it, because the journey from the from getting to how is it that the simplest pshat in the Mishnah, the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi is that Chadash applies in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lars, Midaraisa, even whether it applies to Jews or whether it's owned by Jews or non-Jews, to how is it that Rov HaOlam, it had for hundreds of years, right? I mean, the Rush already tells you that the Minhag in his time, 750 years ago, was to be Mekel. This is not a new problem. Right? Hundreds and hundreds of years, this has been a problem, but how we're going to get to that and how we're going to defend it. Now again, when I say defend, right, I don't mean that we're going to say that, I don't want you walking out of here and saying, oh, it's obviously mutter, simply because the Minhag is like that. I want you to understand that the Minhag, defending the Minhag is exactly as I said. We're defending a Minhag. But the simple pshat in the Mishnah, Bavli Yerushalmi, is that it's Asur, and probably Midaraisa. So in order to defend the position, you have to realize that that's what we're doing, we're engaging in a defense. And maybe by the end you'll be convinced by the defense, but this is not some Chumrah. So I just want you to realize that, right? When some people say, I'm Makban on Chadash, this is not, right? It's not, oh, this is some newfangled Chumrah that I'm taking on, right? Like a Gartel, right? It's not a Gartel. This is that the simplest pshat in the Mishnah, the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi is that it's Asur, and it may be that we'll be able to come up with a good defense, and maybe that we won't. We'll explore the defenses that have been offered, and maybe you'll like them, maybe you won't. I don't know, right? But
is a really bad chumrah.
It's definitely not as important as Chadash. Let's put it that way, okay? It's not as important as Chadash. Chadash is a much more serious issue. So tomorrow what I want you to do, okay, is we'll continue with these sources. I want you to see the Yerushalmi and Challah. Before you go on to the tour, which is the next source I gave you, I want you to read the Gemara in Menachot, Pei Gimel, Beis Pei Dalam, and Aleph. Okay? Like from the Mishnah. Like I'll send that a reminder. But basically from the beginning of the new Perek on Pei Gimel and Beis to the two dots in Pei Dalam and Aleph, because there, that is a potential avenue for Heter in the Bavli. A potential avenue in the Bavli for Heter. So it's important to see this Gemara. Once we've seen that Bavli and the Yerushalmi and Challah, we'll see how La Halacha, not only is this going to be one of those things, or this is not one of those things where the Gemara Mishnah sound one way, but don't worry, all the Poskim Paskin not that way. We'll see that which Poskim thought that we should Paskin the way we just said today. The Rif, the Rambam, the Tur, meaning all the early major Poskim, all codified halacha l'chumra in all the ways we've just articulated. So this is not something where, like, oh, the early poskim said...
Let me guess, the Rambam said it's okay.
What? Sorry, I take back the Tur. The Tur poskim like his father. Not the Rif, the Rambam, Beis Yosef. The Tur is going to quote his father, the Rush, to start beginning the kulot. Right? The Rush is really the first one who really comes to the defense. I misspoke when I said the Tur. But you'll see that even the Tur, some of these, the Tur will accept some of these chumrat. So it's not just that we're fighting, you know, the early poskim against the simple pshat of the Bavli, the mission of the Bavli Yerushalmi. It's that the early poskim also all poskim the chumrah, and we really do need to defend it. But so let's, tomorrow I want to start with, again, we're going to go primary sources and then we're going to go secondary. So far we've only done Mishnah, Bavli, and Yerushalmi. Tomorrow do the second Yerushalmi and do the Bavli. And then I guess that'll be it before Shavuos. I said, this may very well take us to the end of next week, because getting to the halacha l'maisa is really important here, and I want to do it stage by stage. I want to be very, very, very careful in these sources so that you understand where it comes from. And again, I only gave you basic sources. You'll see that what I gave you is really not much more than a summary, than sort of extracting the main positions quoted in Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch. I will note that if at any point you feel like you're getting lost, and this is what I'll end with, towards the end of the Makoros sheet, I gave you a link to a J-Post article by Rabbi Shlomo Brody where he summarizes these issues. So at least in a bird's eye view of what we're going to be accomplishing.
That's such a random thing for him to write on J-Post.
He's the Ask the Rabbi.
He's the what?
He's the Ask the Rabbi Rabbi on J-Post.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's not random.
I know he does some halacha like segments on J-Post, but like I felt like this is...
No, he doesn't. He wrote a book on it. His book. You have his book, don't you?
Yes.
That's the collection of his J-Post articles. The Ask the Rabbi articles. Yeah. Just sort of edited. Yeah. So I did give you that if at some point you get confused, where he'll summarize some of the main issues, but we're going to do this methodically and go source by source, get through it, and by the end, you know, you'll see how you feel about eating the new grain. I want to hear back from your rabbi before we finish that. I want to hear what he says as a Sephardi Pasuk.